Welcome to this week's episode of Texas Cryptids. My name is Will and I am your host. Demonic possession is described as the belief that an evil force can inhabit one's body and control his or her actions. Possession stories go back through recorded history and probably before that. They are popular movie plots and are prevalent in most cultures around the world. There are a few ways a person can become possessed, such as being under a curse or inviting a demon in through satanic rituals. And sometimes there is no induction, it just happens. Tonight, a guest will tell her experience with praying to the wrong entity and the consequences of straying too far into the darkness.
We're just here to hear your story.
Okay, so growing up in the Hispanic community, it was very common for us to be around witchcraft. When I was a little girl, my mom had this statue of La Santa Muerte, which in English is the Holy Death. The way it works, it's people believe that it's a woman, it's a she, and that she's a saint. So that everything you ask for, that you can pray to her, and you can ask her for things, and she will grant them. You just have to make an offering. You have to, like, maybe offer money, maybe offer jewelry, whatever you want. And they always said that if you don't pay La Santa Muerte, that she will come back and get you. So my mom had this statue of La Santa Muerte in her room. It was red. And she always had a glass of water, an apple, and a dollar bill as offerings. Because she also said that you can never leave La Santa Muerte without anything. You always have to give her something. So my mom would tell us, don't play with it. Don't go near it. Don't touch it. I'm going to get really mad if you do. Of course, no one played with it because we were all super scared of it.
Yeah.
But one day, my mom's furious and she's saying that one of the hands is missing. And she's asking us, where's the hand? Who played with it? I told you, blah, blah, blah. And we honestly don't know. I mean, we don't even go near that statue. So that same night, I remember that I dreamt that I was in my mom's room and that this statue was like human size, probably like 6 feet. And with the hand it was missing, it was pointing underneath my mom's bed. It was pointing, and I knew that it was trying to tell me that it was there. So the next morning I woke up, I ran to my mom's room, I checked underneath the bed, and yeah, the hand was there. And I grabbed it, and I told my mom, look, I found the hand. She was about to spank me because she thought I was the one playing with the statue, and I told her, no, I didn't touch it. I dreamt her, and she told me that it was here, like she told me. So my mom said, okay, well, she's calling to you, like you're drawn to her. And I just ignored it because I didn't want anything to do with it. I was a little girl. So then after a while, I don't know what happened. I guess my mom got rid of the statue. My dad was always super against it. His mom, may she rest in peace, according to my dad, she was a witch. But like those witches that do black magic, they're going to do black magic to harm people. Like she never helped anybody. And my dad said that when he was younger, he saw enough things to scare him away from all the, like the witchcraft and all of that. He never wanted anything to do with it because of his mom. And then my mom's mom, my grandma, also would do tarot card reading, the Ouija board, like she would do all of that. So we grew up thinking it was pretty normal to play the Ouija board, that it was normal to go get your cards read by the tarot lady. So when I was about 16, I lived in a two-bedroom apartment with my family, and it was my mom, my dad, and their six children, three women, three men. And I shared a room with one of my sisters. And my mom just one day, after years of not messing with La Santa Muerte, like she, I don't know, she had given it up. She comes in and she's like, look what I bought. And it was a small white statue of La Santa Muerte. She's like, I'm going to put her in your room. And I said, no, I don't want her here. She's like, come on, it's here to help you. Like she's going to help you. She's going to listen to you. Just pray to her. And me and my sister were saying, no. Like, we don't want this here. We're scared of it. She's like, how can you be scared of this? It was like a 2-inch statue. She's like, she's pure. She's here to help. But I don't want it in my room because your dad's going to get mad at me. That's what my mom said. So we went to school. And then the next, when we came home from school, my sister and I, we saw that my mom had already like created an altar. Like she had put a glass of water, an apple, a candle, and money. And she set it on top of our drawers. And we were furious. We're like, why would you do this? Like, we already told you no. And she said, whether you like it or not, she's going to stay here because your dad's going to get mad at me. And I don't want him to get mad at me. So fine, whatever. We're like, okay, let's just ignore it. We'll throw it away later. And for the first couple of nights, the candle would be on every night. And we could see the shadow of the statue on the wall. But it was like a small shadow. And then when I would be dozing off, I would hear footsteps in my room. And I would open my eyes and I would see the shadow just growing and growing and growing to the point where it was covering my whole wall. Like it was just pacing back and forth, back and forth. And I could hear the footsteps. It would scare me so much, but I would tell myself that it was all a dream. And I kept telling my mom, at night, I see the shadow grow. I hear the footsteps in my room. She's pacing around. And my mom told me that it was normal because she's getting comfortable. So I was like, okay, I guess. You know, it's a saint. Nothing bad can happen. And we started hearing noises as well. I slept in the second story, and the stairs were directly outside my door. So I could hear someone running up and down the stairs every night. But I figured it was just like, oh, you know, it's an old apartment. It's probably just creaking and whatever. But you could hear like the dun 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 dun, like going up really fast and then going down.
Did anybody else hear that running?
Oh, yeah, my sister. We slept in twin beds. And she would wake me up and she would crawl in my bed to sleep with me. And we were like, she was 14 at the time, I was 16. And we'd sleep there all. Like, we didn't even fit in the bed, but we were so scared. And we kept telling my mom that we're hearing noises. And she said that it was normal not to worry about it. So we blew it off. So then one day, I was getting ready to go to work. I was a waitress. And I just remember thinking to myself, I need money. I really hope I get really good tips tonight. And that whole night, I made great tip. I mean, I thought it was great tip because I was like 16. I didn't know what great money was. But I came home with like a good amount of tip. It was probably like $80. And I just remember every table I had left me a tip, each one of them. And I told my mom, I'm like, hey, like, before I left to work, I hoped to get a lot of tips. And look, I got a lot of tips. And my mom was like, La Santa Muerte heard you. So now you need to pay her back because she gave you what you wanted. And then I was scared. I was like, well, I mean, I didn't ask her directly for it. But, you know, I got my money. And I left her like $5, you know, as an offering. So then the next day, like time passed and I would think things like, oh, I really wish this boy would ask for my number. And days later he would. Or, oh, I wish my science teacher won't come in because I didn't do the project and the teacher wouldn't come in. Just stuff like that. So every time that would happen, I would just leave an offering. It was either an apple. It was usually always money. But I would always leave something. And then it got to the point where my mom had left this little booklet with prayers to La Muerte. And I started praying to her. Like just saying a prayer every night. Like instead of praying to God, I would pray to this statue. And everything I wanted, I would get. But I mean, it was never something like malicious. It was just stupid teenager stuff, you know, like not even worth it. So then my mom started noticing that I was really into praying to the Muerte because I honestly felt very drawn to her. Like I felt like she called me and she was there to help me. And whatever I needed, I knew I can go to her. So it was like that for a while. No more noises, no more shadows. It was peaceful. But then I turned 18. And when I turned 18, I was already obsessed with La Muerte. I had like 3 statues in my room, 3 altars with the statues. I would have rosaries. I would have shirts, like my phone, lock screen was of La Muerte. Like, I remember one time my best friend came over and he was just bashing on it, saying like, oh, like just cursing it out, saying things like, you're not even real. Like, this is stupid. I don't know why my friend prays to you. And I was like, dude, she's going to visit you tonight. And he was like, no, she's not. She's not real. And I don't know what. Just saying really, like, nasty things to the statue. So then that night, it's like around 11 p.m., he calls me. And he's so scared. And he's telling me there's a huge shadow in my room just pacing back and forth. And I'm so scared. And I was like, I told you she would visit you. She doesn't like to be insulted. Yeah. He's like, tell her to leave. I don't want her here. I'm like, well, you need to apologize. You need to apologize because you insulted her and you offended her. So you need to say sorry. And he was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know, blah, blah, blah. Like, he was apologizing. He was saying he was never going to do it again. After that call, I guess nothing happened because like, the next day he said that after we hung up, that everything stopped and he was able to sleep. So my friends all kind of just backed away because they were scared of this and they wanted nothing to do with it. And I just wouldn't give it up. And I remember that my dad kept telling me, stop it. Like, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. And I would rebel and be like, no, it's my life. Why do you care? Blah, blah, blah. This and that. So he's like, be aware of the consequences you're going to face someday. I was like, ah, there's no consequences. You're stupid. You don't know anything. So then I started having these nightmares when I was 18. It was always, I don't know. Like, I was always in the cemetery running from this huge lechuza. It was probably like around 8 feet tall. It was chasing me. It was running behind me, like flying behind me. And I would just run. And there was the statues in the cemetery would just dance, like they would move. They would dance like if they were doing a ritual and they would try to grab me. And that was so scary. And I could never get out of the cemetery. And then the lechuza would always grab me. And across the street, there was a hospital and it would just throw me inside the hospital. And I would always end up in this waiting room, probably like around 50 to 60 people were in there. They're all sitting perfectly still. They looked human. I mean, they had skin, they had fingers, they had arms. The only thing that didn't look natural were their eyes. Their eyeballs were bulging, like they looked huge. And they were just popping out. They wouldn't blink, they wouldn't move. I would pass by them, their eyeballs wouldn't move, but their eyes were just, I don't know. Like, they had this unnatural thing to them. And then on the floor, there would be bodies, like, decomposing bodies, like, blue, purplish already, super bloated. And it would smell. Like, in my dream, I remember being able to smell. So I would run to the hallway and try to get out of there. And I would always come across this woman. And I remember the first time I dreamt of her, she was beautiful. She was very white. She had black hair. And she would wear the robe that La Santa Muerte would wear. So I thought that I was meeting La Muerte. Like, oh, this is her. Like, I came face to face to her. And she was beautiful. Like, she was just gorgeous. And she had pale white skin. But I could see when she would move, when her robe would move, and I could see her wrists or her heels. I could see that her skin was kind of decomposing. Like, she was very wrinkled. Like, if she was like a 90-year-old woman, but she looked like a 20-year-old woman. her skin was wrinkled, and I could see that parts of it were decomposing already. And she would always tell me, I need your youth. I need to be young. And I need your soul. And I would tell her no, that my soul was mine. And she would laugh and say, your soul is mine. You gave it up to me. And I would always wake up. Sometimes I would dream her and she was a young, beautiful woman. Sometimes she was a hideous old lady who was clearly rotting away. But I couldn't take the dreams anymore. I told my mom. I told her, I was like, Mom, I'm really scared. I don't know what it is, but I'm very scared. And she was like, okay, let's go see a priest. So we went to this random church I've never been to. We went there, a Catholic church, and I remember when I stepped inside the church, I was furious. I was enraged. I was angry. I couldn't look at the cross. I couldn't look at anything. Like, I was just so angry to be there. Like, super pissed off. And the priest came to greet me, and right away he said, I need to talk to you. So he took me to his office and we were talking, and he asked me what was going on. And I told him about the nightmares. And then he said, what have you been praying to? And I told him La Santa Muerte and how good she's been to me because she grants everything I want and she protects me and all this and that. And he just said, there's no such thing as La Santa Muerte. Like, the Holy Death doesn't exist. That statue doesn't exist. You've been praying to an empty statue, and you opened the door to an entity. So all your prayers, all your energy, you gave it to an entity, the first one that could latch on to you. And what you've been praying to all this time is a demon. And by the sounds of it, you're one step from being possessed. Because you already gave it all this power and it's gotten close to you. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, no, La Muerte would never do that to me. Like, there's no way. And he was like, I need you to kneel down, close your eyes, and repeat after me. I'm going to pray. What was it? A liberation prayer? So I was like, okay. I kneeled down, closed my eyes. And then as soon as he put his hand on my head, I felt like my skull and my brain were just on fire. Like, it was this feeling. I've never felt it. It was just, everything was burning. Everything blurred out. I couldn't think. I had trouble breathing, and I couldn't stop sweating. And I just remember feeling like, get your fucking hand off of me. Like, get away. I just remember feeling super angry, like a rage. And he's like, repeat after me. And I started repeating after him. But I felt so weak, like drained. Like, I had just worked a 12-hour shift and gone to school the next day. And I was just tired. I was like, I need to go to sleep. But I kept trying to pray. And then I just remember darkness. And then when I opened my eyes, the priest was kneeling down next to me. Apparently, I had passed out for a bit. And I was still sweating. I was sweating, and I, like, that sensation of burning in my head, I still had it. So he said, I need you to go home, throw away everything that pertains to this statue. Throw everything away, prayer books, statues, everything you have, anything that goes against God, throw everything away. And I need you and your family to pray the rosary together and bless the house, every corner. Go room by room praying, throw holy water in every corner, and just make sure you do it together as a family. So then I told him, I was scared at that point. I was like, I don't know. Like, I started to believe him, and I was like, I don't know. I thought I was doing something good. Like, my mom told me that she was going to help me, the Holy Death. And that's when I told the priest that my mom was the one who put it in my room. And of course, he called my mom over, and he was really angry. I think he got after her, because as soon as she left the office, she said, we need to go home and we need to clean this out. So then we drove home. Oh, before we left the church, I really had to use the restroom. I had to, like, you know, just freshen up because I was still sweating. And I couldn't go inside the restroom. The restroom was outside in the patio, and it was, like, three stalls. And there was a lady sweeping the floor. And I was like, I'm so scared. Can you come in with me? And she's like, there's nothing to be scared of. You're in a sacred place. God is with you. And I said, no, he's not. He's not with me. And there's something evil in that stall. Like, I know there's something there. And she came with me. And she said, there's nothing to be scared of when you have God on your side. And I told her, I don't have God on my side. Like, God is not with me. And she's like, well, you need to find him quick. And I just remember feeling scared. I went to the restroom. And then I went home. And we had to tell my dad everything. And, of course, my dad was furious. He was like, I told you. You didn't listen. You went against me. Now look at the consequences. And I don't know what. Regardless, he helped us. He helped us. And my whole siblings were helping us. I mean, like I said, we're 6 kids in total, 3 guys and 3 girls. Everybody was cleaning the house. And then we got home. And that night, you can tell it was going to rain. Like, it was cloudy. There was a lot of thunder. So that just added to us being scared. So we cleaned everything out. And then around 8 p.m., my big brother's best friend shows up. He just randomly knocks. We open the door and he says, I missed my bus. And I can't get home because my bus already passed. And this was the only bus available. So I took this bus because I know you guys live around this area. Can I sleep over? And we're like, oh, yeah, of course. Like, go ahead and stay. And we told him everything that was going on. And he just went pale. And he was like, you can tell he was scared. You can tell he had that moment of like, oh, crap. Like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
But he said, you know what? Like, I'm here for a reason. I missed my bus for a reason. God wanted me to help you, and I'm going to help you. And he's always been he's always had a really strong faith. Like, he's always been that type of person. Ever since we were kids, he's always been that type of person to just, like, soothe your soul when you have trouble. Like, he'll just tell you, like, a nice prayer. He'll give you really nice words of encouragement. And he always includes God. So there we were, gathered in the living room downstairs. And my brother's best friend, V, he grabs the Bible and he starts reading. And then he begins the rosary. We've never prayed a rosary, my siblings and I, so we didn't know much of it. But V was guiding us. He was guiding us how to do it. So we were doing it. And then we were praying. And we noticed that there was like a cold gust of air circling around our feet. Like all of our feet. So we could just feel it going around us in a circle. Because we were standing in a circle. And I ignored it. I was like, you know what? Like, it's probably nothing. It's probably just, you know, it's going to rain. There's probably wind. It's very windy outside. So we prayed all of downstairs. We blessed it. We put holy water. But I noticed my mom was very odd. Like, she was whispering to herself something along the lines of, oh God, please forgive us. God, don't abandon us. And then she would switch it to, I'm never going to leave. This is where I belong. This is my home now. And then she would start laughing. Like, at first it was like a quiet giggle, but we would just disregard it. And then it turned into like a full blown laughter. Like she was just cracking up every time we would pray. And we went upstairs. And at this point, my mom was having like an internal battle with herself. I don't know. She was talking to herself, just going from laughing to begging God for forgiveness, to crying, to laughing again. So at this point, we're a little bit freaked out and we didn't know what was going on. But we just decided, like, the priest had told us, whatever happens, don't stop praying. So we kept praying, and then... Hold on. Sorry. Okay, so at this point, we're a little bit freaked out because we just, my mom's behavior was not normal, I would say. Yeah. And we were in the hallway upstairs, and I was leaning against the wall, and I felt the house shaking. Not like a little rumble, just like a, like if there was like an earthquake going on, like it was shaking. And like in the movies, you know, like you see it in the movies all the time, how the house starts shake. But I could feel it. And I thought it was just me. I was like, maybe it's just my imagination. Like, I'm so scared right now. I'm imagining this. And it turns out that we all felt it. My friend V, he was holding on to the Bible with both hands. And he said, this demon is angry and we need to keep praying. So that's when we all kind of realized, like, okay, this is real. There's something here and we need to do this together. We need to fight it together. So we started praying even louder, and I could hear scratching right next to me. I was still leaning against the wall and I could hear the scratching. Like, it was just like when the dog scratches the door to get in. Like, that strong scratching. And I turned to look to my side where the noise was coming from. And we could see the paint peeling. I looked at V's face, and he was looking at me. And he just looked pale, like, is this really happening? And I was like, there's something scratching next to me. And my whole family said, yes, we can hear it. So then we kept praying, and we kept praying. And then we were finally done praying. And as soon as we... did, like, there was no more shaking, no more scratching, but we got this strong odor of feces. Like, if we had feces smeared all over our noses, it was just super strong. And we all smelt it, and we're like, wow, like, it stayed for a good 5 minutes.
Wow.
So then we went back downstairs, and we were just trying to calm down, like, trying to just ask ourselves, like, did this really happen? Like, is this real? And my mom at that point was just pale. Her lips were a little bit blue. She was sweating. She was like, I'm so exhausted. Like, I'm drained. I need to go to sleep. So we put her to bed, and then the rest of us just kind of like talked a little bit. We're trying to joke around because you can just feel like this really negative energy. Like, it was still cold, and it was just, like, this tension. So we're all just trying to joke around and laugh. None of us really slept that night because we're so scared. But when I did sleep, I just remember dreaming that I was floating around, that I couldn't find myself. And I woke up, and I had to go to school the next day, and I was super out of it. It's like my mind was somewhere else, but my body was present. Sort of like I just felt really stoned, like very high.
Yeah.
And my dad was driving me to school, and he was like, are you okay? Do you need to stay home? I did not want to stay home. I was looking forward to getting out of there to go to school.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to get out of there.
Yeah.
So he dropped me off at school, and my mom that whole day, she went out looking for priests to help her. And we thought that the house needed an exorcism. So my mom, she went to several churches, Catholic churches, and some priests were just very scared. They're like, no, I don't want anything to do with it. Other priests, they judged her. They're like, well, that's what you get. Why did you do that? Why did you pray to this entity? Like, this is your punishment from God. Now you have to deal with it. And they just made her feel worse. And she kept saying, like, I know I made a mistake, but I'm repenting from it and I need help. They're like, no, this is what you get. So my mom was already feeling very defeated and very, very sad, honestly, and helpless. And we ended up going to this church that was close to her house at the time. And that was the last option. And she met up with the priest. And she was crying and telling him everything. And, you know, she was just hysterical at that point. And the priest, he was super calm. And this type of guy is, I've never seen him lose his patience. I've never seen him, like, explode. He's always super calm and collected. And my mom was crying, and he was just there, nodding his head, listening to her. And when she was done, he says, can you invite me over to your house so we can pray together? And my mom was like, yes, of course, you know. So she brings him to her house. She calls us, and she's like, I'm on my way with a priest. Everybody gather in the living room. We're going to do a prayer. And we're all thinking, oh, no, not again. Like, last night was really scary. We don't want to do this again. But she's like, no, I need you guys to be there together. So the priest shows up, and we meet him. You know, he's a very nice guy, very calm. And he starts praying immediately. And my mom just switched. Like, she went from being very grateful to being happy to have help to just not being herself. She started yelling, and she threw herself on the floor, and her face just looked really swollen, and she had like a huge lump in her neck, and her veins from her temple, they were just bulging, and her eyes were white. Like, it looked like she was about to have a seizure, maybe. I don't know, but she was on the floor. And she was just stretching herself, like if she just got hot water poured all over her. And she was just stretching and screaming on top of her lungs. And she started insulting the priest. She called him by his full name. And we had just met this priest. My mom had just met this priest like 30 minutes prior. So there's no way she knew his full name. She was insulting the priest. She was mocking him. She was telling him, go back to that small village you came from Mexico. Like, she specifically named the village. And that's where he was from. Like, he was from a village from Mexico. And we're all just freaking out at how much she knew. Like, she just met him, and she knew a lot. And she started insulting all of us, like her 6 kids and her husband. She was just insulting us. And she targeted me. And she started talking about some childhood trauma I had that I've never spoken about. She started laughing at it. And I just remember thinking, like, how the hell does she know this? Like, I've never told anyone. And I just remember feeling super bad. Like, this is my trauma that I've dealt with my whole life. And she's here laughing at me. And I was crying at that point. And I look at the priest and I'm like, how can you be so calm? How are you still praying? And he tells me, your mother is not in her body right now. This is the demon. Your mother is possessed, and this demon is trying to get our attention. If you listen to it, you're going to give it more power. We need to keep praying. And, well, with that being said, we started praying, and eventually it stopped. And towards the end, the priest just kneels down and grabs my mom, puts his hand on her forehead, and she flinches and she yells, and that lump on her throat gets really big. And we're just looking at it like, what is that, you know? And she said, and the priest says, demon, you don't belong here. This is not your home. You need to leave. And just like that, my mom passes out. Her face goes back to normal. It's not swollen anymore. The lump is gone. Her veins are not bulging anymore. So she wakes up, and she's like, what happened? And we tell her everything. And she says she doesn't remember, that she just remembers going to sleep. So then that's when the priest sat us down, and he said, your house doesn't need to be exorcised. It's your mom. Your mom is possessed by this entity that you guys have been praying to. Exorcisms are not like in the movies. You don't have one and it's over. It's a long process. Keep in mind that you open the door to this entity and you let it latch on to you. It's going to be very, very, very hard to get rid of it. But you guys need to get close to God and you need to do it together as a family. The first thing this entity is going to want to do is break the family apart. It's going to make you doubt yourselves. It's going to make you doubt God. It's just going to like put you in a very horrible situation. Mommy. But you need to look past that and you need to attend church. You need to pray. You need to be united as a family. So we were just sitting there like dumbfounded. Like, I can't believe this is happening. This is something out of a movie. And he said that he was going to help us. He said, I'm going to be here through every step of the way. I'm going to make sure your mom's soul is saved. And he said something that I'm never going to forget. He said, you are going to be the example of God's guardians when you beat this. And I asked him, I'm like, what do you mean? And he said, in order for you to know what heaven is like, you need to see what hell is like first. And you have access to being through hell. Like, you're going to go through a lot and you're going to see all the evil that there is. You're going to see everything that there is. You're going to see these demons. You're going to see how hard they're going to try to break you. But in the end, you're going to see God and you're going to have that personal experience that almost nobody can talk about. God chose you as examples to spread his word and to show people that God is real and evil is real. And I just remember thinking like, well, I didn't understand what it meant at the time, but he did stay with us for over a year. He did many exorcisms on my mom because it doesn't take just one.
Yeah.
My mom would just randomly get possessed. It could be the middle of the day and you could see her face change and she'd grab the Bible and throw it in the trash and just start insulting God. Or we could be at church and she'll start hyperventilating and, you know, she would get possessed there and then. She tried to choke my sister once. So it was a long process. But in the end, I saw a lot of things that really, like, I know now that God is real and I have really strong faith, but it took a lot. It really did take a lot for all of us to get through that. I mean, this happened 10 years ago and thank God my mom hasn't been possessed in 10 years. I mean, she still has nightmares. She still hears things. But other than that, she's faced everything. She went through a lot and we've been able to, I guess, overcome this.
Wow, that's a really rough story. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other experiences, but this is just how it all started. This is the beginning, and yeah.
I'm gonna ask you a couple questions if you have time.
Yeah.
You said that the hand from the little statue was broken off or was missing, ended up mm-hmm. under your mother's bed.
Uh-huh.
How did it get there?
Till this day, I have no idea, honestly. I mean, I kept thinking maybe my older brother did it, because I was probably 6 at the time. My brother was 7, and my other siblings were babies, you know, and my older brother was very mischievous, so I thought maybe it was him. But he swears to this day that he never went near that statue. I mean, I never went near it. I was super scared of it. The hand was detachable. So it's not like it was completely broken. It was detachable.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it ended up under the bed, to be honest.
Wow. And mm-hmm. and you were praying to the Santa Muerte. Did you feel mm-hmm. drawn to it? I mean, did you... You know, why weren't you praying to, you know, something else, you know, to God? Why were you praying to the statue?
I felt very drawn to it. And I used to think that I didn't need God. because I had La Santa Muerte. To me, there was no God. Like, I knew there was a higher power, but everything I needed came from La Santa Muerte. So that's where my focus was at. And I had no idea that it was evil or bad. Like, I kept thinking it was good. And there was times where I was close to offering my soul to it in exchange of a favor.
So you thought it was something, that it was something holy,
mm-hmm.
you know, something godlike, and not yes. something evil.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. And so, obviously, it wasn't the Santa Muerte, the holy death, that was trying to possess you. What do you think was trying to take your soul or trying to possess you?
I saw this demon in my dream once, and it was hideous. It wasn't a woman. Like, it wasn't anything that I had been dreaming, but I saw this once. Through everything that was going on, I remember just one time coming home from school, and I remember feeling exhausted, and I told my mom, I'm gonna take a nap. It was like 4 p.m. and I never take naps. So I went to sleep, and I was dreaming that I was in this, like, I guess there was like a small creek, and there was trees, and I was standing on one side of the creek, and then on the other side there were children playing. And I remember thinking, like, well, wow, how beautiful. Like, look at how, like, they're having fun. It's a beautiful day. And there was a nun with them. She was wearing all white. And she was playing with them. And I just remember feeling very calm. And I was just staring at them. And when I looked down at the creek, the water was so clear, I could see my reflection. And I saw this man standing behind me. Why, at least I thought it was a man. So then I turned around, and it was this human-like thing, probably around 6-7 feet tall. And it was burnt. Like, the skin was just black and hanging off. And there was red underneath. And I just remember it had, like, long claws. And it reached out, and it started to choke me. And I couldn't breathe. And I remember I couldn't wake up either. Like, I knew it was a dream, but I just couldn't wake up. And I couldn't look at this thing anymore. I was so scared. It was hideous. And then the nun said, call out to God, or call out to me. And I believe in the Virgin Mary. So I said, Virgin Mary, save me. And I woke up. So I woke up, and I was screaming and crying because I couldn't breathe. My mom ran upstairs to my room, and my neck was red. Like, you could tell, like, if someone had been grabbing my neck. And I told her, I was like, it tried to choke me. And I was hysterical. And my mom, at that point, she was already super tired. And she said, take me and leave my daughter alone. Like, just take me. Whatever you're going to do, just do it to me. Leave my daughter out of this. I'm tired of you. Just leave. You don't belong here. And she started praying the San Miguel de Arcángel prayer.
Yeah.
And it helped. I mean, we felt that peacefulness afterwards. But she was already angry. She was like, I'm tired of this thing. I'm tired that it's harming us. I'm tired of everything we've been going through. And I just remember thinking, like, we're all tired, you know. We don't want this to happen anymore, but we need to keep fighting.
Wow. So you had marks on your neck from the dream.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, if, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to be logical. I don't know if it was myself when I was trying to wake up. And I was grabbing my neck because I really couldn't breathe in my dream. But I do remember waking up and feeling like I was choked.
Wow.
And I had a hard time catching my breath for a few minutes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you said that you heard somebody running up and down the stairs, that you and your sister heard that. Did anybody else in the family hear that, or was it just you and your sister?
Oh no, we used to I used to have a friend in college, in high school, and she lived with us for a while because she had trouble with her parents. And I remember she used to sleep in my room with my sister, and I went to sleep with my older brother in his room because he had an extra bed. And I just remember her, I woke up and she told me, she's like, "How could you not answer my calls last night?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "Your sister and I were scared shitless all night because that stupid thing was running up and down the stairs all night, and it was trying to open the door, and we locked it, and it was banging, and it was trying to open the door, and we didn't let it in. How dare you, like, not answer my calls? I needed you." And I was like, "I don't remember anything. I was asleep." She's like, "You answered the phone. You answered the phone, and you didn't say anything." And I don't remember any of that.
So she called you on the phone?
Mm-hmm, and apparently I answered. But I swear to God, I don't remember. She said that all I said was, "Okay, fine." And then I didn't say anything else. And my sister and her were crying at night, saying that they heard the running up the stairs, and it was outside the room. So my sister locked the door, and that they were just scared because they could see the doorknob just rattling, that they could see something trying to open the door.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really scary. That gave me chills.
I knew why that happened. It was because that entity didn't want my friend there. Like, it wanted me there. Like, yeah. It was like an imposter, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you said that your mom had knowledge about the priest that she had just met, like his full name and where he was, mm-hmm. you know, where he was from. How did he react? How did the priest react to her knowing all these facts?
He specializes in exorcisms, I would say. So this was nothing new to him. Oh, okay. He was like, "Well," he said. Later on, we found out that every time he would come help us, the demon would attack him in his home. Oh, that wow. He would get punched, he would get scratched, he would get thrown off the bed. Things would fall, heavy objects would fall, and he would miss it by inches.
Wow.
You know, he said he's used to all of this, but that back in Mexico, he used to do a lot of this work. So this, he said that this was nothing new to him. Wow. My mom even spoke Latin once. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, "What?"
Wow. That's really scary.
It is creepy.
Huh. And you said you were having dreams. How did the dreams feel? I mean, did they feel real, or did you know they were dreams?
I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Insidious.
Yeah.
Well, exactly like that. Like, you wow. know it's a dream, and you see yourself. Like, I could see myself, but my body and my soul were just detached, and they felt so real. Like, touching objects, I felt like I was touching them in real life. So
wow.
they were just, yeah, they felt super real. Like, if I were to get in an accident in one of those dreams, I probably would have woken up hurt.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's really crazy.
It was a crazy, horrible time.
Yeah, I can imagine. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's a very, you know, it's a very scary story, and I'm sure it was a very scary time in your life.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, that would be it for today. I honestly, when I talk about this, I feel this pressure in my chest and dizzy. So it actually does take quite a bit for me.
Yeah, I can imagine it would take a physical toll on you.
Just remembering how I felt those days. But like I said, this was just the beginning of the process. We went through a lot. I have a lot more experiences. Thank God my mom's been fine. Her faith really grew from this. My faith really grew from this. And I just hope this helps as a lesson for all those people that are messing with things they're not supposed to.
Yeah, I think this would probably convince some people to stay away from, you know, things they don't know about.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, thank you for your story.
Let this be a lesson to others who may want to wander into wicked territory. I hope it provided a little spookiness to your evening. And like always, if you are interested in sharing your stories about cryptids, the paranormal, or the supernatural, or if you have any comments, please send an email to texascryptids@gmail.com.